How are we to process the recent elections? Instead of a red wave, was there even a red trickle? Well, certainly some states like Florida, Texas, and Georgia, by and large, did well for conservatives. Other states, not so well, like Pennsylvania and some of the races in New York and Michigan. It's unclear what is going on even right now with all the results in Arizona, at least at the time of this recording, which is just before Thanksgiving. And were all those vote counting measures on the up and up? Well, we're going to talk about the election results with Tim Head, a regular guest on this program. He is the executive director of the Faith and Freedom Coalition, and his organization has done and continues to do so much to mobilize people of faith to get out and vote their biblical values. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Tim Head rejoins us. And their website, by the way, is ffcoalition.com. Tim, thanks so much for joining us after the elections, so we can get a postpartum, if you will. In fact, I remember we had you on a couple times before the election, just talking about what was at stake.
That's exactly right. You know, this is there are probably a few different ways maybe to kind of slice and dice this election, and as you just alluded, there still are a couple of things that are still outstanding, but I would say the short version, or the cliff notes, if you will, at this point, is as we kind of analyze where does the American political electorate kind of sit, is that basically this is trench warfare, and people that are looking for pendulums to swing one direction and swing another direction so that we can, you know, get a little bit of respite and be able to kind of breathe a little bit easier. Unfortunately, I just don't know that that's really in the cards today. You know, the reality is that all of us have to kind of stay engaged on a week to week and month to month basis. And there's not a lot of reprieve for those of us that wish that we could just kind of go back to life as normal and business as usual, so to speak.
Well, now some that are in the never Trumper category, they're pointing at Trump and they're saying Trump is to blame for the lack of the red wave. Let's just start with that allegation. Your thoughts?
Well, as I'm somewhat alluded to there just in opening comment, I think that any kind of simplistic kind of a monolithic kind of read on this is only made out of convenience. You know, a lot of people on the left and the political right have some sort of drum that they're trying to beat, an agenda that they're trying to further, and they'll kind of look at 40% of the results and maybe 40% support that conclusion, and they'll just kind of quit their analysis there. And that's really an incomplete analysis. So if you're just trying to kind of, you know, make a point, I guess you can make some convenient points. That doesn't make them right. I think that this is, that would not be, I think, even close to a full explanation of what's going on right now. There probably are some races that, you know, Trump's involvement didn't necessarily help the Republican candidate, but in other cases, he was very influential or even dispositive. And I think that you just have to kind of recognize that Trump has enormous support in certain parts of the country, and then other parts of the country, he remains pretty controversial. And so it's a mixed bag in different places.
Okay, let's talk about Georgia. And this is a situation where, on the one hand, Herschel Walker didn't exceed the number of votes that Warnock got. Herschel Walker is pro-life. Warnock, even though he's a minister, is pro-abortion rights. But because of the Georgia's, you know, runoff law, if you could explain that to us. I guess a candidate has to get exactly 50% or more, and then they're the candidate, and neither of the two got up to that level, that threshold of 50%. Is that the way it works?
That is basically the law in Georgia. And then I think the final tally wound up with Raphael Warnock at like 49.4%. And then I think Herschel Walker was at around 48.6%, you know, so probably between 7 and 8 tenths of a percentage, a little less than 40,000 votes, I think, separated the two.
Wow.
And so, you know, out of basically 4 million votes that were cast, almost exactly just shy of 3.96 million votes that were cast. Very close election, and interestingly enough, you know, we actually saw that that Hirsch, that Brian Kemp, the governor, the candidate for governor, got about a little over 53.5% versus roughly 45%. So the governor's race, the Republican won by a little over 7%. Down the rest of the statewide ballot, there were a total of nine statewide candidates or statewide elections. Republicans won eight of those nine by between six and almost 10 points. I think the Secretary of State's race was about 9.5 points separating the two. So Republicans actually did exceedingly well in the statewide elections, again with the exception of this Senate race. And
that's not even
the reality is that there were some challenging historical background things with Herschel from, you know, from 12 to 15 years ago that, you know, that they certainly made for some salacious TV commercials, even if in real life those are distant memories in their family's life. But, you know, for a 7 or 8 second soundbite on a TV commercial, they can certainly certainly make just enough of an impact, again, on those 37,000-38,000 voters that are kind of in question here in Georgia.
You know, isn't that interesting? I mean, people ask sometimes, why do they have all these negative TV ads? I guess because they work. That's why.
Well,
you know, human nature being what it is. But does Herschel Walker have a chance? Tell us about the runoff.
Oh, he absolutely has a chance. And look, so if you kind of turn back the clock just 2 years ago, a little less than 2 years ago, during the 2020 and then, you know, the ultimately the January 5th, 2021, runoff there, Republicans had about 91% of our, Republicans, who voted in the general turn back around and vote in the runoff. So 8 weeks later, about 91%, which actually is a very high number, but Democrats wound up with 93% of their voters to turn back around. So a record re-turnout by Republicans was trumped by an even larger record turnaround by Democrat voters. The interesting piece here is that there were actually significant crossover voters, people who voted for Brian Kemp and also voted for Raphael Warnock, which is, you know, ideologically, you couldn't get more polar opposite than that. So clearly some Kemp voters, you know, were watching some of those TV ads apparently about, you know, things that happened in 2006 with Herschel Walker. But interestingly enough, I think a lot of people are expecting those people not to turn out and vote again because there really weren't Warnock supporters. They just had some heartburn around maybe Herschel Walker himself. And so I think there's actually quite a bit of anticipation that that Herschel's going to actually surprise some people, I think, in this turnout election that's coming up now in really less than 3 weeks.
Okay, now in reference to the overall elections, okay, election 2022, I heard a statistic the other day from Janet Folger Porter, and she's very strong in the pro-life movement and so forth. She's actually the architect of the heartbeat bill, you know, which has been passed in different places. In fact, I understand Georgia even has a heartbeat bill. Temporarily, it's been put on hold by a judge and so forth. But here's what Janet said the other day in a pro-life meeting. She said that our side was outspent 35-1 in the 2022 election, and yet we did as well as we did despite those, you know, that kind of statistics. So, again, I haven't broken down that to see all the details or whatever, but it makes sense because I know, you know, George Soros gave tons of money. Hey, the guy from FTX, now he's, you know, got some serious you know, allegations against him and so forth, but they gave serious money, and there wasn't the same kind of money on our side you know, in the recent election.
That's right. Well, look, I mean, you know, the magnitude of differential is certainly noteworthy, but it's not uncommon at all for pro-life candidates and pro-life voters to be outspent significantly, partly, you know, let's be honest, because, you know, in the world of medicine and kind of pro-choice funding, a lot of this money is basically government money, the money that's essentially kind of reappropriated. It's washed a couple of different ways. And so whenever, you know, the U.S. government is helping to fund to enormous amounts, either hospitals or clinics across the country that are performing abortions, you know, the Planned Parenthood and some of their kind of
cronies,
sisters on the left have found ways to kind of wash money a couple of different directions, and lo and behold, turn into TV ads, you know, against pro-life candidates. And
sure.
So, that's not a unique phenomenon, and frankly, I don't think it'll stop anytime terribly soon. But that doesn't stop the reality that, first of all, just truth, capital T, you know, is on our side. And then secondly, scientific empirical data is starting to align with that truth. And then thirdly, you know, as that message continues to proliferate across the country, and frankly, just people start to see sonograms more and more. I mean, at this point, I think most people have come across a sonogram in real life. They realize, you know, that, yeah, you know, we can have some meaningful conversations around, you know, maybe early weeks and exactly what's going on developmentally. But it's pretty clear, you know, at 11, 12, 13 weeks that any argument that this is anything other than a human being and a baby, it kind of defies, sure, not only sight, but also logic. And so, you know, the argument is on our side, even if the funding tends to be more on their side.
Okay, we have about 2 minutes left. How about if I just let you go and you go ahead and just spout off, you know, other points about the election and include Arizona and the Senate race in Pennsylvania, but just kind of give us a global picture, the elevator version, 2 minutes.
You bet. Well, so, you know, Pennsylvania was and is a challenging state, for a handful of different reasons. I mean, it's a very diverse state, you know, kind of, central Pennsylvania, northern Pennsylvania, all the way down to kind of the West Virginia and Ohio borders, are very conservative and also very religious. But then you still have the city centers, obviously, in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, et cetera, that tend to kind of overshadow a lot of the rest of the state. And that was no different this time. And you also particularly, I think, had a governor's race that was especially challenging, that kind of it had a pretty strong aftertaste, if you will, on the electorate there. And so, you know, despite Fetterman being an extremely weak candidate, unfortunately, just hard to overcome that governor's race. And then Arizona, you know, the bottom line there, I think, is Maricopa County is a fast growing county. A lot of people coming from California, and to be sure, there are a lot of Republicans that are coming from California, but there still are a lot of Democrats that are coming from California seeking relief for kind of financial and cost of living dynamics, but are bringing their politics with them. And, and that's where, you know, Arizona kind of remains a bit of a jump ball. I think that the Lake campaign for governor was a pretty strong campaign. The Masters campaign for Senate was probably not quite as strong, to be honest with you. And that's to be expected somewhat from a young and still emerging candidate like Masters, who I actually still think may have a future in Arizona politics, but just not quite this time.
Okay, we're basically out of time. FFcoalition.com. Think of the irony, though, of what you just said about these people leaving California, uprooting, and then going to Arizona. And why did they do that? Frankly, because of bad politics in California. And then they turn around and they vote the same kind of bad politics where, you know, in their adopted new home. Amazing. Tim Head, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Jerry. God bless.